Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Right now, we're pleased to welcome former sports agent Joel Corey, who is now an NFL contracts and salary cap expert for CBS Sports. And Joel, as someone who's been on both sides of this, you're looking at caps for teams, but you've also been advising players in your former role as an agent. How much has the pandemic and the year that is 2020 thrown everything into a lurch right now?
Yeah, it's something unprecedented that no one ever could have contemplated. One, sports would come to a grinding halt. You wouldn't have an NCAA tournament. Spring NCAA sports would be canceled. Some leagues are now canceling fall sports. We'll see what happens with college football, whether it's played fall, spring, or what happens. And now we're going to see if the NFL can get through the entire season. One, the NFL and NFLPA have to work out some logistics about testing protocol and things of that nature. Training camps are supposed to start as early as this weekend, rookies reporting. We'll see if that gets pushed back at all.
In terms of the money side of things, it's kind of interesting because we've seen a team like the Chiefs go ahead and agree to this huge extension. Now, it doesn't start this season, but this huge extension with Patrick Mahomes and now throwing Chris Jones on top of that. And so we're seeing some teams do business. But from your perspective, how would you approach the business side right now when you don't actually know if and when there'll be a season and how long it might go?
You know, that's been part of the reason that you've had a slower pace of extensions this year than any other year, that typically teams will try to sign their best core players and lock them up for the foreseeable future, but that really hasn't happened all that much this particular year. One thing is we don't know how much revenue is going to be lost. There will be a drop in revenue. Two, what the cap's going to be next year. The NFL's proposed players put 35% of their salaries in escrow. That's a non-starter for the players. The Players Association, their union, wants to spread the losses from this season over the life of the CBA, which runs through the 2030 season. It's really in everybody's best interest, I would think, not to have a huge drop in the cap in 2021. Because you start doing your planning a couple of years in advance, and nobody ever could have contemplated anything like this. So if you don't spread the losses out at least over a short period, if not the whole CBA, you're going to see a lot of guys released for the 2021 league year.
All right, we'll talk about the Mahomes contract coming up, but one of the things that the NFLPA is asking for, in addition to the various opt-out clauses for guys who are high risk or guys who choose not to play because they've got family members who are high risk, this idea of a stipend automatically guaranteed to players if they get to camp, but then everything shuts down, or if the season starts and everything shuts down. Is that in place of their salaries? Do they get paid per game? Is that how it works?
I believe that would be in addition to, but I don't really see how the NFL is going to agree to that. This thing may play out kind of like baseball, where we saw very public negotiations. I don't think the general public wants to know how the sausage is made, so to speak. When you have unemployment at a much higher rate than anyone ever anticipated, people losing their jobs, people worried about rent. I don't think the public has an appetite for billionaires versus millionaires fighting over money. So hopefully we won't have a whole lot of leaks of this thing going forward and everything gets resolved more quietly than we saw with baseball.
You're a former agent yourself, Joel. So thinking about it from the player's perspective, you know, we mentioned the stipends, also talked about this idea of deferred salaries. What are you telling athletes right now if they come to you looking for advice about the right way to go into this season?
Well, don't make any big purchases of anything because there's too much uncertainty. And two, if you're a veteran and you aren't a starter or you have a high salary, be prepared for the possibility that you could be released to cut down or ask to take a pay cut, because not only is it the cap, it's also teams are worried about cash. That if we have a big drop in revenue, then that's lower cash. So teams are going to be looking to save money. So in an ordinary year where you may have been safe, you may not be. And from a cap standpoint, you can roll over cap room from one year to the next. So if you were trimming payroll and cap consequences and cap costs, then that's money that can be applied to next year since it does roll over. In the event that you do have a big drop in the cap as opposed to the losses being spread out over multiple years.
What does this type of uncertainty and also the limits on players in camp potentially mean for guys who were drafted in the later rounds or who were undrafted?
It's not an ideal situation for the undrafted free agents. And also, since you didn't have your traditional rookie program, the incoming players are behind the eight ball. So that does cut in the favor for your lower-cost veterans making the team. It's going to be interesting to see what teams do with some of the high picks. Like the Joe Burrow, he hasn't gotten the reps or the familiarity with the offense he would have otherwise. If they're going to anoint him starter from day one, it's not going to be any type of competition. It's going to be, we need to get you ready to go. Typically, you've had guys who were not drafted, who may not have signed initially after the draft, like Adam Thielen. A guy like him doesn't make a club this year because he went to a rookie mini camp on a tryout basis, impressed at the tryout and got invited to sign a contract and invited to camp. That guy gets disadvantaged as well. You've got some veterans who still haven't signed that are fairly significant. They're ultimately going to sign, and that's going to put some guys at risk that otherwise wouldn't be, because you have more of these guys out there than you ordinarily would have in your typical year.
How much does it hurt if there are no preseason games? Same type of concept.
There are already too many preseason games as it exists. There don't need to be four. So if we play two, that's probably about right. Once we go to 17 games, you're going to lose a preseason game anyway. There are opportunities for some of your back-end roster guys to impress. But I don't think, from a fan standpoint, people want to watch preseason games. It's lost revenue, so that's what it really is. More so than anything else. And it's going to hurt Tampa Bay. That's a team which actually needs to get the reps, game reps, more so than any other team, because you have Tom Brady, who's learning a new offense, as opposed to the offense learning him. Well, they still have to develop chemistry, so a preseason would be more important to a team like that as opposed to the Saints or the Chiefs.
We continue with former sports agent, current salary cap and contract expert Joel Corey of CBS Sports. Joel joining us from Vegas. So let's start with the Mahomes contract. What was your initial reaction to all the numbers?
Well, first I was like, that's a really long deal. And my first thought was, I hope there's something unique in the contract that we haven't seen to make doing a 10-year deal, 10-year extension worth his while. It actually does contain something you typically don't see in an NFL contract. Typically, when you have a really long deal, and the longest deal on the books at the time when he signed was Tyron Smith's 8-year extension, once you get past the first 3-4 years, then it becomes basically a series of team options, and the team can get rid of you whenever they want, when it best suits them. In Mahomes' case, he's got majority of his money in March roster bonuses when the league year starts. That's not the biggest part of his protection. It's the fact that those roster bonuses become guaranteed a year early. So in 2027, that's his biggest year. He's got a $49.4 million third day of the league year roster bonus. It becomes fully guaranteed on the third day of the 2026 year.
in the 2026 roster bonus becomes fully guaranteed the third day of the 25 year. And that continues throughout the rest of the contract. So it's going to be tough for him not to see a majority of this deal just because of the way the guarantees vest early. But that being said, if he was really going to try to maximize his income throughout his whole career, he wouldn't have signed the 10-year deal because there are two unknown variables where eventually we're going to have a huge increase in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
One, new TV deals, because I've never seen TV deals go down. Typically, they go up by a huge percentage. And everyone is anticipating that the gambling revenue is going to be a big piece of the pie. And he's locked himself in for so long without these two variables being defined that if they do become big revenue pieces, then he's not going to be able to reap the benefit of that. If I was going to do a deal this long, and I wouldn't have, I would have had some way for him to void out of the deal at some point so that he can reap the benefit of the changing financial landscape, which will happen.
So then even with his guarantees vesting and becoming his earlier than when he actually plays that season, would you consider this to be a Chiefs-friendly deal?
Yeah, from the standpoint that it's not going to be cap-friendly because sometimes some of those cap numbers are going to be huge. Like the 1 year I referenced, 2027, that's almost $60 million on the cap. But it's friendly from a cash standpoint because the cash flow in the first couple of years is shockingly low. It's a backloaded deal, meaning that if you go 5 years into the extension, he's not even at 50% of the new money. Like 56% of the money in the last 5 years. But I think what Mahomes is trying to do is try to catch Tom Brady. And Brady started taking discounts in like 2013-14, which gave New England a chance to amass more talent because he's got lower cap numbers and lower cash. So I think this is maybe Mahomes' way of trying to do the same thing, but also trying to get the best of both worlds where he gets a big contract and security for the bulk of his career. Don't forget, there's one thing that gets lost in the equation, that the average yearly salary on the deal is $45 million. It was $35 million, so he's jumped Russell Wilson by almost 30%. The days of next man up becoming the highest paid guy are probably over for at least 2-3 years, because I don't see Deshaun Watson getting 45. I don't see Lamar Jackson, when he's eligible for a new contract next year, surpassing Mahomes. And who knows what happens with Dak Prescott if he plays out this year and he plays on another franchise tag and becomes another Kirk Cousins where he hits the open market. That would be interesting to see what he would get, assuming that he's still playing at a high level if he goes the two franchise tag route and doesn't get a third one from Dallas.
But Joel, again, you're a former sports agent. So from an agent's perspective, wouldn't you be asking for that? Hey, Patrick Mahomes, he set the market, $45 million a year. So my guy, next guy up, should get that same amount or more. Isn't that your pitch?
Yeah, that's your pitch, but this deal is so unique that you're not going to go, the market's not going to jump from 35 to 45 and then to 50. That's just not going to happen. And if you look at the first three new years, the first four new years, and the first five new years and the average, you're not even at 40. After the first three new years, Mahomes is at 37.95. Russell Wilson's first three new years at 38, so you're not even number one there. So it could cap these guys coming up if they do the traditional shorter deal in terms of keeping their average in the close to the 40 range than the 45 range. If I'm Deshaun Watson, who supposedly is looking to do a three-year extension, I'm trying to sell the Texans on, if you franchise me twice, you're probably going to pay me in the low 40s per year to do that, and try to get my extension average to approximate that. And that'd be my way to get closer to 45 and try not to get them to look at where Mahomes is at various points of his contract.
Fascinating stuff with NFL contracts and salary cap expert Joel Corey from CBS Sports with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Joel, the Dak situation is kind of interesting, and you referenced it. There's been some hang-up, apparently, over the number of years, and I've seen reports that the Cowboys just don't do five-year deals. Here we are talking about Mahomes with a 10. But, again, if you're his agent or if you're the team and you're looking at the long-term, I mean, how willing are you to dig in and not budge on that 4 or 5 years?
Well, there's no scheduled talks, and the deadline is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Something could change at the 11th hour, but as it stands right now, Dak Prescott will be playing for $31.4 million on a franchise tag. I understand why he wants four. Prior to the Mahomes deal, the longest deal in terms of new money for the highest-paid quarterbacks was Matt Ryan giving up 5 new years. Jared Goff, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz all gave up 4 new years, so I get the point. What Mahomes' deal does is it gives Jerry Jones ammunition to go, hey, I want 5. Why can't you do 5 or 6? He's doing 10. But also gives Todd France, Dak Prescott's agent, to go, hey, I wanted to be the highest paid player. I'm not going to be the highest paid player, but the second highest paid player, I should be closer to Mahomes than Wilson. So there are things that each side could take from this deal if they decide to talk again. If not, it's only going to get harder next year to do a deal, because the longer you wait to do a good to great player, the more it's going to cost in the long run. Second franchise tag is $37.7 million. That will be the starting point for a negotiation next year, assuming that the wheels don't fall off of Dak this year and he has a slightly above average, they'll have to stick a second franchise tag on him most likely, even though from a cap standpoint, it's going to take up a higher percentage of the cap, because if they have a flat cap and we're talking 37.7 versus 31.4, we're talking 15% versus 19% of the cap.
Right.
So the ball's really in Dallas's court to try to get something done. They really should have tried to get something done in earnest last year before Russell Wilson signed. It would have been a lot cheaper than what they're ultimately going to pay if they do ever sign long term.
Jumping back to the Chiefs, just because of the Chris Jones news on Tuesday, how do you like the contract that the Chiefs gave him?
It's interesting from the standpoint that they're keeping his first-year cap number the same as his franchise tag number. Typically what the Chiefs do with long-term deals is they'll have a low first-year cap number, ballooning second-year cap number. So I thought they would lower the cap number because the tender had been counting on the cap where they have a signing bonus and a close to minimum base salary, but they went the opposite direction. I always thought that if they were going to sign him, they would have to have two $20 million per year pass rushers. Frank Clark from last year, the franchise sign and trade, is one. And now Chris Jones. It was just a question of would they want to have two $20 million per year pass rushers. I was always a little skeptical of that, but it's good for him from the standpoint that it's a four-year deal, so he'll come up again before he's 30 and should get another bite of the apple at a huge payday if he continues to play at a high level.
Interesting. We talked about the uncertainty at the beginning, so just before I let you go, Joel, how would you compare, in whatever way, whatever context that you want, how would you compare this offseason to what you typically have for the NFL?
Oh, it's apples and oranges. We've never seen anything like this. I guess the closest comparison you could make, and it's really not all that close, is the lockout season of 2011 in terms of the preparation that you had guys who weren't in facilities because they were locked out until training camp. You had the virtual off-season program. That's something where they were – you had some interaction – but still, nobody's been in the facility all offseason. The first time they will be there will be when training camps open. That's the closest comparison, and that's still not really close because you knew the season was going to go on and it was going to get through, go from A to Z. We don't know if we're going to get through an entire season because this country does not have any handle on COVID-19 right now.
regardless of your perspective, we're all kind of flying blind. And there are far more questions than there are answers. And so it's one day at a time. Really, you can't game plan too far down the road because you don't know what's going to happen. Interesting to talk to Joel and look at it from the cap and the contracts perspective. And, of course, as a former sports agent, really good stuff. You can find his articles on CBSSports.com and also on Twitter at Corey Joel, C-O-R-R-Y, and then Joel. It's great to have a couple of minutes with you. Thanks so much, and be safe, Joel.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Likewise, you too.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.